to GalacticConnection.com, one of the most popular blogs on the World Wide Web today for alternative news. Stay tuned for the latest information on our world shift from enslavement to galactic involvement, as well as current intel on any blockages impeding us from our sovereign birthright. Knowledge and self-mastery are key at this time. Our commitment is to present you with the latest breaking conspiratorial articles, off-world messages, exopolitics, cutting-edge technologies and sciences, and also an ever-significant intertwining of spiritual support and metaphysical scope that one needs to dive down the rabbit hole and search for truth with balance. We are truly on the horizon of a new golden age filled with the promise for more love, worldwide peace, and accelerated intuitive skills, where every living being can exist in cohesion and abundance. It is whatever we envision and dream this new world to be. I say to you now, let's redefine the new world to the beginnings of our own precious heaven on earth. Galactic Connection is here to provide the pulse of Mother Earth through an eclectic range of interviews each Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4:55 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Station 2 on BBS Radio, expanding your perspectives on how we can once and for all take back our freedoms, our joy, and our connection with our mighty I Am presence. Our intention remains true to connect hearts and minds everywhere in order to obtain global unity and galactic and universal acceptance. Our discussions will continue to cover anything to do with galactic society and our involvement with our galactic brothers and sisters. Our guests are experts in their fields, and our radio shows have been coined as some of the most thought-provoking out there. In addition to our daily blog, which runs 365 days a year, we also offer a realm of healing services such as our world-renowned implant removal processes, our spiritual past life clearings, our galactic violet ray alchemy from Alexandra, who shares in the lineage of Merlin, and other cutting-edge healing technologies. Check our site out at galacticconnection.com now. Sending you a wave of light, love, and inspiration, and a personal hug and thank you for listening to our Galactic Connection radio show and visiting our blog today. Hi, everyone. This is Alexandra from GalacticConnection.com, and today I'm going to be providing a pre-recorded interview with Simon Parks for July 19th, 2016. And for many of you who already know Simon Parks, you know that he's just provided an immense amount of information regarding world politics, and many consider him to be a whistleblower. He came onto the scene in 2010 and has an amazing background. It reads quite a bit like a conspiracy novel. His grandfather is a British diplomat and Freemason who worked for MI6, and while his mother worked for MI5. He was trained in occult magic at a young age. He has many high-level contacts in the British government, and he eventually delved into the area of politics, which apparently he is no longer doing anymore. But prior to this, he came clean with the public about his experience as a contactee with the Mantids, non-human extra-dimensional beings, greys, reptilians, and others. He openly spoke about the alien hybrid program, witnessing human scientists working alongside aliens during his abduction encounters. He shared experiences regarding a soul being removed from his physical body and transferred into a Mantid body to take part in abductions and related tasks of abductions. Despite his stories of a 9-foot Mantid being, his handler, who he referred to as Mum, Simon managed to win the election for a British city councillor on the Whitby Town Council. Although he's experienced a ton of malicious attack from the media, Simon remains true to his word, and that is that he would like to make sure that this world becomes a better place and assist us in bringing heaven on earth. So today we're going to be discussing some very important information that's come about regarding posting on the various forums regarding his background. And this has primarily been triggered because he did come out and admit that his father is gone. So stay tuned. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and this is a pre-recorded interview for next week, and that would be July 19th, 2016. We may be releasing this earlier than that, but it will be appearing on BBS Radio. And as many of you know, who is near and dear to our hearts is Simon Parks. He has held a space for this community for many years now. He's come clean on his experiences and his background with his mother and the Illuminati and his dad, the reptilian Draco King, and so on and so forth. He has amazingly inspired us and educated us in areas that we never thought possible. And today I have been asked to interview him to give him the space and the time to address some of the concerns of those who have questioned some of his, I don't know, actions, reactions, and some of his history as what they refer to as a therapist. And what we would like to do is be very fair. I think all of you know my ultimate goal here is not only to address the needs of the community, but also to ultimately always assist us in raising in our vibration and handling any conflict situation. It's absolutely imperative that we be the example in a conflict, and if our needs have not been met, or if we have been hurt, or if we have been insulted, we must seek some sort of resolution. And it's not going to be resolved if we're on a witch hunt. It's not going to be resolved if we're constantly pointing fingers. And today what I want to say is, I'm not accusing anyone. Please hear me. I understand that we all have our needs that we must be met. But at the same time, I would also like to give Simon the opportunity to have a really open space to address some of the concerns that have been revealed and relayed through the Project Avalon forum, as well as some of his own personal experiences. So please do me a favor, before you start listening to this, just call in our source, our divine father and mother, and ask for the ultimate, most positive resolution for all of us. Because Simon and I can really relate in one particular way, and that is that we both handle very convoluted, strange things when it comes to the way that the dark operates through the body, through people, through society, through events, and we have no idea how incredibly dastardly they will go to accomplish something, to create dissension, to create finger pointing, to create hatred, to create frustration. And so it is up to us to take certain conflicts like this and create them into a positive. And I want to just, first of all, right off the bat, just say thanks to Simon, because it took a lot of courage for him to kind of own the fact that his father, Anu, we're finding out, has now left his vehicle. But we also want to take a look at how has that been a benefit to us. Let's step back and always remember that we call all of our experiences into our own reality, like it or not. So, hi, Simon.
Hello, Alexandra. Lovely to see you.
You too. I know it's been not such an easy road the last couple of weeks or months. I would love to start out with, let's just be really open and honest and available to all of those that have had some concerns and really would like you to address them personally. And most importantly would be there have been some complaints on your reliability to show up for meetings. I would like you to talk to people a little bit about maybe just your daily operation. And I'm saying this, folks, because I know my load and it's heavy. I've got a really high workload. Anybody who's worked with me, they know that. And Simon's no different. So let's just try to understand where all of this has started. So now I'm going to shut up.
Well, it's normally a five-day week, oops, Monday to Friday. And I'll have schedules from 10 in the morning, excuse me, until about 6 p.m., except on Thursdays when it'll go to 10 o'clock at night, because of an American audience. Wow. An Australian times, sometimes first thing or last thing. But the schedules can also be interrupted by emergencies that occur, both, you know, in a 3D world and in an ordinary scheduled world. The difficulties I've had and have had for a good few months now have been some very severe interruptions to the Facebook, when I used to have that, to Skype, emails and texts. And 3 weeks ago, in fact it was after the last JP show, JP's engineer said to me through JP that we can't go on another hour. We're going to have to phone you on the landline. And so I had to do my last part of the radio show on landline because the interference was so bad. And the at the end of that, what the engineer said was, you're being jammed. Because I guess he knows his stuff and he's monitoring it from his side. And JP said, it looks like that you're having energy waves beamed over the top. So I got someone independent to come in with a lot of equipment to do some tests. Now, on the ground floor of the house, there was no problem at all. But in the my room, where I do all my, my work, I was absolutely a terrible, huge amount of Wi-Fi off the scale. The engineer said he'd never seen anything like it in his life, and he called me over. He had one digital scale, and the light was flashing red, and on the analog scale was a needle, and the needle was actually bouncing against the edge of the box. And he said, this is a terrible health hazard, and it's illegal, and I've been recommended only to spend 1 hour a day in this room.
Wow.
So it's given me the correct terminology to use with the provider who controls the Wi-Fi, because 120 feet away from me is a mast. And anyone who's been following me for a little while will know that within 3 months of me going public, the local authority got planning permission to put a telephone cell mast 120 feet from my house. So within 3 months of going public, I had a telephone mast there. Now, we know it's coming from that because the engineers checked it, and it's only irradiating the top floor, which is my room, and it's dreadful. Now, that explains why my internet and all the other forms of communication are just shot all over the place, and that's why when I try to make contact with people, or people say, I was ringing you, and I say, well, I was trying to ring you, that explains it. And it was, I did everything. I changed the router. I changed the computer. Somebody even donated me a new computer. But that's the answer for it. So first of all, from the jamming side, that's it. From the other side, sometimes things occur which pull you off track. For instance, had a death in the family a year back, so that put me out. Might have to take the cat to the vet at short notice. But the vast majority of the interruptions have been electronic, and I'm really glad that I found that out and that's documented, and they will have to do something about it because the amount of radiation is illegal. So we'll see where we go with that, and I'll keep you posted.
Well, that's great. So now, what about some of the areas that people have been showing some concern with you leaving the therapeutic session? They're calling it therapeutic session, which I really want you to address also. But You're leaving the session and you're saying, hey, listen, I'll get back to you shortly. Let's have a second follow-up session, mm-hmm. and let's make sure we cover this. And they're very frustrated because they've texted you, they've called you, they've emailed you, and never heard back from you. They've even left messages with your volunteers who they know interact with you face-to-face, and they're still not hearing an answer back from you.
Right. I get lots and lots of emails that never get to me, texts that never get to me. Often I'll chat to someone and say, you know, we could do another session, might be a free session, might not, depending. And I can't get hold of them. And I'll send them messages on Skype or if I've got their email. And they're obviously sending me messages and I'm not getting that. So if I'm sending people messages and I don't get a reply, then I take it they're not interested. If they've spoken to volunteers When a volunteer has actually said to me, oh, X or Y is trying to get hold of you, then I will say to them, okay, you've obviously got an internet, an email connection with them. Would you please email them and arrange for a time and then tell me? Because it's impossible sometimes for me to actually speak directly. And the best example is literally if people listen to the last JP Wolf Spirit Radio, the second hour I had to do by telephone because communications were just impossible. And that's what's happening. So it's not that I'm not bothered or I'm not interested, because that isn't what it's about. It's literally that I will send a follow-up and I'm not getting a reply to that. And these people are obviously emailing me or messaging me and I'm not receiving that. So my conclusion is, oh, well, they're not interested. They didn't want to follow up. But when someone has spoken to a volunteer, I would hope that that person, the volunteer, would let me know. I can't guarantee that because they're volunteers. They're not in a paid job. And they have their own lives, and I can't and I wouldn't force them or make them try and do anything. I'm very reliant on a volunteer actually passing information on to me. And in most cases, I'm sure that happens. But obviously, people come and go. I've had people do 1 week and say it's not for them, or someone's moved house or got a new job. And, you know, they'll go. Now, they may take that information with them. So that's actually the case. I'm a corporation. I'm not a big company. I don't have teams of people sitting there doing lots of research for me or answering the phone. And it's just not like that. But, you know, I would always hope that if a volunteer takes that information, that he or she would pass that on to me. But I can't be certain because of changeover of people.
So for those that still feel that frustration, who actually have hooked up with you directly and really thought that they had a session available and didn't see you show up at all, they didn't even feel like there was any interference with technology. Some people are saying that they feel that the interference word is being used as a scapegoat. I know that with my own experience, Galactic Connection, oh my God, have we had our share of interference. And just so everybody knows, we had that before this interview today.
Yeah,
I
mean,
didn't even know
the question
it was
is,
going to happen today.
The point I would make is, why would I do that? What have I got to gain? Why would I meet somebody, talk to somebody, make that connection, then why would I then say I didn't want to talk to them again? That's just not logical. You know, it's easier once you've made that first connection to talk to people and to develop it. It's always difficult with a new client and you're working with them. So that just doesn't ring true, because the person their end probably isn't getting any interference. They're sending me messages and it says the message sent. So, you know, as far as they're concerned, well, I've sent him a message. Yeah, but if I don't receive it, then I don't know you're trying to connect with me. Just because of that person not receiving jagged lines across their screen or pixelated images or the call is dropping, it doesn't mean that on my end, everything is fine. So, you know, yeah, I know people can get really annoyed. I had this week, I think there were... one of my volunteers, her Wi-Fi just was cut completely, and she's 190 miles away from me. So she couldn't do any connections, and somebody was trying to connect with me. I was trying to connect with them, couldn't. And this person, like you're saying, thought, well, you know, why isn't he there? And getting very, very uptight and angry. And I'm standing there doing my best. I'm sitting there. And unfortunately, my volunteer was on the phone to me. And I said, well, I can't get hold of this guy. I won't say his name. Can't get hold of this guy. And she's saying, yeah, but he's trying to get hold of you. I'm saying, yeah, I'm here. She said, I know you're here. I said, well, tell him, text him, I'm here. So that's the situation. And I would really like people to understand that if I'm not getting back to them, it's not because I'm not interested or I don't care. It's because something is interfering, coming between me and that person. Usually we resolve it in the end, but occasionally there have been some calls where 3 months someone's been, you know, I'll get messages from Skype that will be 3 months old. Suddenly I'll switch the computer on and suddenly there's a whole raft of messages coming in from people. Oh my goodness. but that's the situation. And so although it may not appear that they're, that the interference that side, and all I would say to them is listen to Wolf Spirit Radio, and that's how bad it has got, where I couldn't even conduct myself on an interview. I had to use a landline.
So what do you feel is the ultimate agenda if there is some oppositional force causing this literal wall between you and your clients? What is the ultimate agenda, do you feel, behind that whole scenario?
I think it's to do with the individual as much as it's to do with me. If someone is going through a crucial period in their life, excuse me, where they're waking up or they've discovered something or something's going on, and they are seeking information which will empower them, give them knowledge which will make them challenge the accepted rules, then, you know, me and other people, you yourself, of course, Alexandra, many others, not the sort of guys that the elite want these people to talk to, because half an hour talking to us will give these people enough confidence to start challenging, to start researching, to start looking at themselves and looking at what's around them. And it's not just about me. It's not just about preventing me talking. It's about the person I'm talking to receiving information that will allow them to break free from whatever situation they're in. So it's not just about stopping me. It's about stopping other people accessing that information.
Totally.
That's absolutely what it's about.
I totally agree, and I've experienced the exact same thing within my, you know, organization. I can really relate to it. Now, do you... would you say that in your career, in your political career, for example, do you have a reputation of being somebody who's reliable and dependable, that gets back to people on time and follows through? And
well, yeah, I mean, when I went public with my experiences, the first thing that the established media wanted to do was discredit me. And the best way to do that is go to the town hall. And they went round, and I learned afterwards, they went round to a lot of other lawmakers who were my colleagues. Different party, same party, different party. And nobody would say anything bad. It was a good report. Then they went to the officers. We call them the officers. These are the paid civil servants who staff. And they even attended meetings that I was at. And what they found was somebody who attended meetings, didn't fall asleep, debated, brought up his constituents' questions, went on sightseeing fact tours, and there was nothing there for them. And that's why when I did the TV breakfast television show and a senior Conservative government minister attacked me on a TV station, and I got the right to reply a couple of weeks later. The guy's name was Mr. Portillo, and he was a government minister, and he came out and attacked me. And I said, why did this man not attack me on my policies? Why did he say that, you know, oh, I've talked about aliens and the Illuminati and energies, etc., etc. Why not attack me on my beliefs politically? And the fact of the matter was, there was nothing that could be attacked, because I've consistently worked hard for my constituents. Mm-hmm. So, no, the press gave up because there was nothing there for them.
So you would say that from a work environment, one of the most key ingredients for successful communication is reliability.
Yeah, it's about building trust with people and being right there. Now, in my political work, it wasn't done on Skype.
My work
is done on the telephone
That's so
or face-to-face. Now, that can't be interfered with, really. It's very difficult. And also, you're talking about the trash wasn't collected from number 52, or the streetlight's not working outside here. Or, you know, that doesn't bother the elite, okay? That doesn't challenge them in any way. So I didn't get interfered with on that. The only time I did get interfered with, actually, was when I started talking about President Putin. The line from Great Britain and America was that President Putin was a bad guy. And that wasn't the line that I was giving. And that's the only time politically and on an elite basis that I got under a huge amount of pressure. because they didn't want me talking about Putin. Now, it didn't manifest itself by telephone calls being broken, but it did manifest itself by getting called in to very senior officers within the political party saying, we can't have this because we want a line that is attacking President Putin. You know, the American and the British governments have agreed that we are going to attack President Putin, and you are a member of a political party who has signed up to this, and you're not doing it. And I said, well, I'm not signed up to it. So it wasn't an electronic interruption of my work, but it was an emotional attack on my work. So I know how these people operate, and they'll do anything they can to prevent you doing what you know you need to do.
Well, so let's shift gears a little bit as far as the way that the oppositional forces, and that's what I call them because there's so many different types. You know, you've got demonic, you've got archontic, you know, you've got the actual extraterrestrial, you know, reptilians. Not all of them are bad, of course, so on and so forth. And just from my line of work, I see to the extent that they will go to destroy a relationship and to destroy the opinion one may have on someone who is influential. I know that to be true, absolutely. Experienced it in my own life. So, and I see this a lot in this case, in this scenario. That does not go without saying that there are some legitimate concerns that people have, and we're going to address that in a minute. But I feel that it's important for you to really clarify with people which of the darker forces do you feel that you're typically dealing with? For example, if you have a client who comes to you and they're really, let's say they're just getting beat up on the astral plane, what then do you typically see is going to be the reaction of either their attachments, implants, or possibly negative extraterrestrial influences around them?
Well, each person is an individual, and each individual will make or manifest their own perception around what they've got. That's the first start. The second start is how that attachment got there, whether it's got there through agreement, and that sounds crazy for most people, but it can happen, whether it's through agreement, whether it's been sent by a human agency, whether it's been sent by an off-planet agency, whether it's just an opportune attack. Then the individual concerned may have a past history of working in those energies, and therefore there's an attachment there. So a person can have a multi-layer attachment. It can be what we might call a possession. That's what the church likes. I don't like that word, but I think people would understand that, where there's something that's sharing their space with them, with or without their knowledge. But there may be implants. There may be implants that are almost sentient and have a connection, a two-way feed. So when working with somebody, it's really important, and I know you do it, it's important not to make any conclusions. You have to ask a lot of questions about the background, understand what they think they've got, and try to understand when it occurred and how it occurred. And I tend to look at what is the most important to the individual in terms of its controlling network. And so when you work with the individual to remove it, to actually say, well, if I take this piece down, what impact is that going to have on the rest of it? Is there going to be a vacuum created? Is there a trigger mechanism here? If I take this one down, is there a program that could really be negative to that individual, which may activate? So everyone's individual. From the straightforward case of an Indian family, where in Indian culture, the eldest son gets left everything when the father dies. So he gets the land and the money. And unfortunately, egos and greed being what they are, a number of cases where the other younger brothers have gone to a black magician, paid him to demonically attack the elder brother to make him insane or incapable. So the court will then take away what the father gave him and give to the others. So that's a very straightforward case, and that's relatively easy to deal with. But where someone has been involved with black ops, where somebody has come from a satanic ritual background, then those obvious, I can use the word black and white lines, don't exist, because it's a much deeper, more insidious connection. And so, you know, these people aren't tins of baked beans. These aren't cell phones. These are living human creatures.
Yes,
and, you know, there's a responsibility. I'm not a doctor, and I've never claimed to be a doctor. And my sessions aren't therapist sessions. My sessions are soul reading sessions, psychic readings.
Right.
And when I look at those energies, and I can see the ones that are not meant to be there, or they're meant to be there, but they're meant to be removed. And so it's about saying, all right, what is the emotional state of this individual? And, you know, which ones do we need to take away first?
Yeah.
And I will always go at the speed of the individual. I don't sort of sit there, I look at my watch and say, right, well, we've got 10 minutes, so we've got to do this now. You know, it doesn't work like, as you well know, it doesn't work like that.
Sorry, go on. I was just going to say, you brought up a really good point about the contracts, because so many of our clients cannot believe that they would have had a contract with this sort of thing, but they're very ancient. And the more ancient they are, in many cases, the more difficult and a lot of red tape you have to go through on the inner planes with some of the other more powerful negative extraterrestrial races who don't want to let go of that soul fragment or what have you. And they've been using that soul, the essence of the soul, to gain whatever they need, which unfortunately causes the individual that they're using to receive the karmic backlash from that. This is a element that you need to be very skilled. We do it differently. Obviously, you do it one way, I do it another way. And we work a lot more like on a remote basis, and we're working with the higher self, not a face-to-face. So it's, you know, basically, I've told people before, we were divinely directed in the way that we were supposed to do it. And we were told over and over and over and over again, just to share too many details, because the dark are just readily waiting for any moment that they can to try to prevent, especially the kind of work that you and I do, which really is trying to get down to the point of providing you your birthright sovereignty back, you know. But it's a very convoluted, very complex, it can be very complex with each and every individual, some of your most enlightened people, you know. And there's all different kinds of implants.
Some of the, as you're saying, some of the agreements, I call some of them hitchhikers,
yes,
these energies, because they are there for the ride, but they're there to evolve. And that's what is very hard for people to grasp, that both sides can evolve from that experience if it's positively and it's understood. And if both individuals are at a level where they can understand what's going on and get something from it.
Yes.
The concept of something evil attached to me, full stop, is a very naive, that may be the case in some ways, but it's very naive to blanket everything like that. And it's very wrong, for say someone who's learning the trade, if I can call it that, mm-hmm, just to immediately treat everything the same. It's not.
Right. No.
And I think that, you know, you obviously clearly understand that, as do others. But I just wish that a wider range of people practicing understood that sometimes this is a journey. It's a journey for those people. And
it's not going to be the same resolution
from
one person to the next. Each session that we do is very unique. Each person is very unique. We might approach it with a certain set of, you know, guidelines, but each person is going to be unique. And on the inner plane, there are times where I have had it made known to me that on the subconscious level and the astral level, some people will come and they're in such severe, dire straits that we're already, from the moment that they decide that they're going to work with you or me, we're already working with them.
Yes.
It's already begun. Yes. Not everything is on this
the fiscal contract has already been made.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the reason I want everyone to know that Fran, who worked with Simon for how long?
Oh, it was over a year.
Over a year. She contacted me and asked me to do this interview with Simon because there was so much mutual understanding between what he does and I do. And obviously, I've interviewed Simon a couple times. But I do want everyone to understand that just the mere fact that there has been some hurt feelings, some feelings of people feeling that they've been mistreated, okay? It also kind of comes with the whole, what am I trying to say, Simon? It comes with the whole industry, the market of djinns and demons and implants and reptilians and attachments and, you know, negative entities of any sort. It just is part of the whole process. So please, I'm reminding everyone, as we move through these higher energies, we are going to continue to get challenged in the way that we see things black and white. And for the therapists out there, I've read actually quite a few of the threads on the forum, and they're saying that, Simon, you are not following proper therapeutic protocol, that a therapist wouldn't be caught dead making an appointment with somebody, dropping a bomb on them, and then not even talking to them ever again. So what is your response to that?
Well, we've talked about why I'm not able to speak to them again.
Correct.
That was simply because of all the interruptions. I'm not a therapist. That's not what I am. I do psychic readings, and I remove implants. I do deprogramming of mind control. And the way I deal with it is totally different from the way that someone would do it from their perspective.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's wrong. It means it's not something that they are used to. And I guess if I didn't have the interruptions and the breakages in the communications, then that person wouldn't be dropped. They would have carried on working with me.
Yeah.
And in a number of cases, you know, where people are on welfare or they're old people on retirement plan, I don't charge them. I don't charge them. I will do session after session for no charge. And also there are a number of people who've come to me who've been absolutely desperate. I have actually given them money, not as a loan, but as a gift.
Yeah.
One particular woman was being physically abused by her man, who was, I thought, a black magician. So, and I actually know Fran knew that. And I sent this woman £130. So that she could get the heck out of there. And a number of people have done that. So, you know, what I would say to people is look at the overall picture. There are a number of individuals, and you mentioned Avalon, there are a number of individuals who've got an axe to grind, have a personal vendetta. And you know what? That's not spiritual. That's not evolved. And they can run round and bite their own tail. It's of no consequence. What is of consequence to me as genuine people who I've worked with, who I haven't been able to connect back with and who haven't been able to connect with me, and then think that they've done something wrong or I'm dropping them. That's not the case. It is purely and simply because my communications have been interfered with. And now we know what it is. We know what's caused it.
Yeah.
It's been like that for, well, when did this mask go up? About 5 or 6 years, but it's got progressively worse. So all I'm going to do is move my operation downstairs until this mast is turned off, because it's only the top layer of the house that's being bombarded with microwaves.
Well, so, you already have a disclaimer making it very clear that you experienced a lot of interference, and I mean, I would highly recommend you put that on your... So people that are new to this sort of environment really understand that. I mean, we have that all over the place with us.
Right, yeah. You know? I mean, I haven't done that because I only was made aware of this as an ongoing attack just over a week ago. I mean, that's how new it became obvious through the technician the engineer, showing me, I couldn't argue with it, all the meters and yeah. showing me that. But what I have been saying to people now is, look, you know, we are getting this. If we get cut off, I'll call you back. But you have to understand that something is really interfering. And if I can't get hold of you for a bit, it's not that I'm not bothered with you or I'm bored. It's that we are being prevented. And I actually say to people, if we're being prevented from talking, there must be a reason for that. Mm-hmm. Why would somebody not want us to talk?
Yes,
you know, that actually is a positive in that sense of the word. Because if you can meet somebody and there's no interference ever. If I did radio shows or you did radio shows and you did things and it was never interfered with, you've got to ask yourself, well, either you're just not doing anything that's challenging the system, or basically you're doing the agenda for these people. Mm-hmm. So the very fact that you, Alexandra, and I and others get terrible interference and problems and blockages, it's precisely because we're the sort of people who are not lying down and playing dead. We're actually getting up and doing something about it. So, you know, there's not much more I can say on that. There is technically the demonstrable evidence now. Got the engineers, done me his report, and that report has been sent to British Telecom, who actually own the phone mast. So that's documentable. Now what's going to happen is they're either going to send an engineer and do readings, or magically they'll just turn it off, or turn that frequency off. So as I said, I'll keep you posted, and it'll be very interesting to see what happens to my communications once that happens. I expect a huge change.
It's almost as if this was supposed to finally be exposed so you could get down to the bottom of it. And I'm just thinking in terms of the frustration. I mean, even I've been frustrated when I've tried to set up interviews with you because I have such a difficult time getting through to you. So for those who are still kind of feeling like they're dangling with you, you know, are you willing to meet with them again to kind of, you
know, of course,
because clear the air with each one of them.
Well, of course, because I never deliberately withdrew from them.
Okay.
So there's no reason why I wouldn't, you know. Sure. You know, I'm quite happy to do that because I want to show people that it's not me becoming bored with them. It's because I couldn't get hold of them and they couldn't get hold of me. So, yeah, I mean, you know, why wouldn't I? I wouldn't be having a very private interview with you if I was then going to turn around and say, well, actually, I'd rather not talk to people. You know, that's not what we're about. So, yeah, of course, I'm happy to do that.
Right on. So everybody knows now, those that have been very frustrated and they haven't been able to kind of finish things up and go through in the follow-up with the other sessions, there's the open door with Simon.
Mm.
Now, apparently, there's one particular post in particular that was very, very vehement about the way she was handled, and she felt that the information that was relayed to her was so intense and so overwhelming, and felt that that information perhaps should not have been shared by you if there was not a definite, for sure, follow-up session to review it, explain it, work with her, etc. And apparently you said that she was one part gray, one part robotic, and one part ancient earth human. It really kind of spun her out.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, no problem at all. This is the person on Avalon.
Okay.
I immediately recognized that this was an attack against me. I know the individual concerned. What would be nice to share with the audience is that she actually had a follow-up. She actually had a follow-up. I gave her a follow-up. And immediately...
Oh, she did say that.
Oh, good.
But
she did.
I think it ended up on a bad note.
No, it ended on a very positive note. What happened was that she said to me... I don't know whether she swore, but I won't use any bad language on your show, Alexandra. But what she said was, when you saw me, I'm quoting her now, when you saw me, you said, I don't think she used the F word, but it was along those lines, and now goodbye. And I said, are you saying to me that that's exactly what I said, and she wouldn't answer that. And five times, I think about five times, maybe four times, I said to her, I wouldn't swear. I don't swear at clients like that. Are you saying that I said those words? And then she said, no. At which point I said, thank you. Now goodbye. And I turned it off. Because if a client is alleging that I'm using the F word, bad language, and then actually when questioned three times on it, or four times, five times, then actually says, well, actually, no, you didn't. Well, that's not a proper consultation. Well, that's somebody trying to entrap me. And I don't play games like that. So I was very professional, and I just thanked her for finally being truthful, and then said goodbye. It's like you would on a cell phone call, goodbye, and I closed it. This individual is working with several other individuals on Avalon, and I absolutely stand by what I say. There are people who have archontic energy. There are people that have a very different soul to a soul that's created by divine consciousness. Now, it doesn't mean those people are bad. I did a talk recently, and I said, you know, you take a guy who's done 25 years in the state penitentiary for murder, and he comes out, he might be one of the best people on the planet. You take someone comes out the Vatican, the establishment tell us that he will be the best person on the planet, but he might not be. So we don't judge, or we shouldn't judge, on the makeup of a person, but what we should judge is whether they are being genuine with us. And in this particular individual's case, this person was working with a group of other people who really decided that they didn't like me and they were going to have a go at me. I used to be on Avalon about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and I had a regular slot. And then I noticed that the number of attacks were building and growing, and the moderators weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. So I realized that there was something very untoward. And what's quite interesting is that Bill Ryan, who runs Avalon, and I've always had the highest regard for Bill.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I like him.
And I won't say anything bad about him. Mm-hmm. You know, Bill had a private one-off Skype. We talked a lot about the issues that he was facing. And very oddly, 2 days later, Christine, who was associated with Bill up until that point, also then decided that she wanted to have a talk to me and tell me what was going on Avalon. Now, I didn't solicit those. Now, you know, those two individuals were key members of Avalon, and both of them Skyped me to have a private and confidential conversation, and they're private and confidential, I won't say, but what I will say is that not everything was rosy and happy in the Avalon family. And, you know, I'm not part of Avalon now because it's vicious energy. It was the most wonderful site, but isn't so good now. There are lots of good people who are just keeping their head down and not posting. They just read the posts, and it's lost a lot of people. And all I would say is that this happens, you know, things change and develop. But in this case, I recognized it was an attack, and this individual got short shrift from me in a very polite, professional way. And I hope she recorded it, the second one, because she should show that recording. I bet you she doesn't show the second recording. She should do, really.
No, she does have a great deal of detail as to what was expressed between the two of you. And the only reason, I really want to make it clear to the audience, the only reason I would even ask you is I just want to remind everyone that if there is an upset or upheaval between two parties, there's always two sides to every story. And personally, I'm going to tell you right now, Simon, I don't want to hear about it. Oh. I don't really care what happened between you and another party. I'm not a real big forum advocate because I do feel that once something is posted, even despite the fact it has good intentions to share it and maybe possibly give people direction away from something that might be nefarious, it tends to grow into like a feeding frenzy and you know, kind of snowball into like a negative thing. I mean, there's some really top-notch people in there. I mean, I've really enjoyed my interaction with Callista and Will of Cosmic Awareness. She speaks very eloquently, you know, talking about how it's just very interesting how we all need to master our own soul's development. Mm-hmm. She kind of comes in saying, hey, let's step back here for a minute and focus clearly on our own will, our own choices. And my whole thing is, at what point are we as the enlightened ones going to step out of this or the need to have other people agree with us? We don't need people to agree with us if we're standing in our truth. You know, we don't need people to sit around in a forum and get agitated over a particular person, place, or thing. Yes, it's important that if something really terrible happens to a client, that it needs to be addressed. But we don't have all the facts. That's my whole thing. And if it happened to me, I'd go straight to the source. And again, because they weren't able to reach you, it created and festered in such a manner. And then the next thing you know, it's like, oh, God, you know, he's this, this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. I'm asking everybody, is this fair? You know, is this fair? Is this something that you would want to happen to you? And can you really honestly put yourself in Simon's shoes? That's my main thing. It's very difficult to be you. It's hard to be me. If you're in a high-profile position, trust me, there's all kinds of cunning ways that the dark will try to infiltrate. And they will work around. If they can't get to you, they'll work through all of those around you, through their weakness. It could be the love of their child. That could be their trigger. It could be their house payment that causes them to go into depression. The moment that they find that light switch, they're going to come in through that avenue. That's what I have found. Mm-hmm. So I would ask everyone, yes, we need to address some of the pertinent, let's just put it this way. There are pertinent pieces of information that I do want you to speak about, and that is getting into the whole Anu, you called him Dad, you know, your reptilian Draco father, and the ramifications of what that has caused in some of the particularly female clients. I think everybody really wants to hear, were you not really aware of this, that he was working through you? Are you not aware that he was affecting women in that way sexually?
Well, absolutely not. Okay. If I was, I would have put a stop to it a lot sooner. For me, just a cat. The cat has come in. Hello. If you hear a little scratching and crappy, it's the cat.
Your cat always comes in when I interview you. That's so funny.
Yeah. I think the first inkling of anything was just over a year ago when a member of my family sent me a text or an email saying that, and this person lives a good 250 miles away from me, saying that they'd seen a shadow in the room, and their initial reaction was it was me, because it felt like me. But when this member of the family, and I'm obviously protecting them, I don't want to say exactly who it is, when this member of the family looked closely, they found that it was just a shadow, and it wasn't me. So then the person sent me an email saying, you know, someone's pretending to be you. So I had that as a piece of evidence from a member of my family who I obviously would believe and trust, which led me to believe that somebody was masquerading as me. And that's how it's been. Now, at the recent conference, Fran and a number of other light workers who were working on a separate case to do with the white Draco, came across another piece of evidence. And when Fran then said to me, you know, basically, she thought that I had gone to her room, but when she looked, it wasn't me.
Wow.
And she said, I know it's not you, because you're not there, but it feels like you. And then I realized that the only way that could happen is something was mimicking me. But to do that, they would have to have, like, the DNA, or they would have to have some sort of energy connection. So I had a good, ask my higher self, had a good scan and detected what I can best describe as an energy hook. That's the best way I can describe it. So what I did was remove it, which wasn't easy. It took time. It wasn't just, oh, you know, let's get rid of it. It was a hard job. I repudiated the creature that I called Dad, cut all connections with him, removed his photograph from my website, wrote a statement for a, kept on for a few hours explaining that, authorized Fran to place that on other websites. Because I'd been betrayed. This creature had never physically harmed me, never once. And I referred to it as Dad because when I was about 3 years old and it had presented itself, it said, I'm your dad. Now, I knew it's not my biological father, but that's the name that I gave it because that's what it called. So to find that I'd been used like that, is the greatest betrayal that you can have. Oh, but it was also the energy I needed to remove him from my life. So it was, you know, I could have done the politician role and said, no, this isn't true. I could have done that. Or I could have said, do you know, I'm far too spiritual for that to happen. I'm far too evolved. That couldn't possibly happen. But I didn't. I looked into myself, asked my higher self, and found that actually probably between the ages of 3 years old and 6 years old, this was done to me without my permission. Now that's important because I didn't give permission. That's why it was okay to get rid of it, because it was easier to remove it without having, like you said earlier, all the red tape. Yeah. This was done to a between 3 and 6 year old kid who didn't really understand anything. So when I understood that, I realized I'd been manipulated and used. So there was no question. I was going to get rid of it, repudiate him from my life, and then apologize. Now, I'm not apologizing because I have gone and done this to people. I'm apologizing that something used me to go and upset people and disturb them and whatever else. And I need people to know that that's not me. That's not with my agreement. That was not with my knowledge and my understanding. And it had to be Fran who would tell me that because I'd worked with Fran for a year. So I trusted Fran. So when Fran came to me and said, this is what has happened to me, then, you know, what I said was, well, you wouldn't lie to me. Now, when I compare that with what the member of my family said over a year ago, the two matched very closely. So I could either go into denial or I could be a real man about it and be a real light worker and say, okay, I need to be honest. Why would I hide this? I'd only hide it if I was working with him.
Yes.
You know, if I was working with him and I was doing it deliberately, then of course I would go into denial and hide it. But the reason that I was honest and open is because I was horrified, absolutely horrified that everything I stand for, everything I believe in was being usurped or tricked or used for his own evil purposes. And I wasn't having it. So it was like I didn't even need to say, let me think about it.
Yeah.
Once I'd scanned myself and knew that this is what that evil creature had done, then there was no other course of action but to totally remove him from my life. And it was easier to do than I thought it would be. Because when you trick somebody like that, you lose all your connection with them. You lose all that love or connection. And that was it. So that's what happened, and that's why we're here today.
I would imagine too, you know, it's not an easy thing to deal with the repercussions of that. I know it took some courage on your part, although you're saying I had to do what I had to do. It also was something that I immediately respected you for the fact that you went out into the open forum and said, okay, I just want everyone to know that I have immediately cut myself off from this entity, etc. I think one of the questions people would have is, why wouldn't you have known this if people were contacting you? For example, there were a couple of indications that people had been so-called astrally raped on the inner plane after having a session with you and then tried to communicate that to you. So can you address that?
I can't remember anyone communicating it as clearly as you just have. Okay. If someone had communicated it as clearly as that, then this process that's occurred recently would have happened a lot earlier.
Okay.
I have had people say that they got visited or they had astral this or astral that. But at that stage, at that stage, what I believed it was someone mimicking me and was somebody, 100 miles away, 1,000 miles away, projecting themselves, pretending to be me. So that was my mindset, and that's what I believe because of what my member of the family had told me. But if someone had put it in the stark terms that you just have, then the process to get rid of him would have started a lot earlier. But no one has actually laid it on the line like that. It's all been, this happened and that happened, and I might have been dreaming, or, you know, it was an energy attack, but I don't know where it was. And, there was a couple of people who actually spoke to me face to face. But unfortunately, in that case, those individuals had already, as we say in England, blotted their copybook with me. In one particular instance, three members of Connecting Consciousness, and this is actually at Fran's house. We had a meeting at Fran's house. Had come to me and said this particular individual was plotting to steal, that's his word, not mine, the clients away because he wanted to make money out of them. Now, when that person then came to me and said, a member of my family's been attacked and it looked like it was you. Well, no, that's not going to have any credence with me because I've had three separate individual people tell me that this particular guy was going to try and make money on the back of my organization. But when Fran came to me, Fran didn't have an axe to grind. She had nothing but love. So when I looked at that, I saw the purity of it and realized it was truth. So that's what happened then.
Well, thank you, Fran.
Well, yeah, absolutely, because if it hadn't been the determination, because Fran knew that I'm a good person. That's why she came to me, because if she knew I wasn't, she worked with me for over a year,
yeah.
So she knew what I was. And if she'd known that I was a bad guy, well, she wouldn't be associated at all. So clearly, she wanted to bring me the information, and God bless her, she didn't tell me what I needed to do. She said, this is what I need to tell you, but you need to decide what you want to do. And I think she thought I was going to say, give me a few days to think about it. But I didn't, because, people who have watched me know that I think quite quickly, and I'm not being eager-headed. I react and think quickly and quite decisive like that. And I didn't need time. When you're faced with the truth, why do you need time? If you see the truth, you do it. And that's what happened.
That's a great quality have. And I think everybody around the world already sees that within you, Simon.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we today? If you think about why has this even happened? Why did this information come out the way it did? And I know it's ultimately because divinity wants us to help heal the way in which we react to information like this, that we expect one thing and we perhaps get another, and we have expectation of how that other should be responded to. And, for me, when I was taking a look at all of this and I was approached by Fran, one of the biggest things that I wanted to do was just get people to think outside the box of even the spiritual box, okay? And the fact that no matter how much work we've done on ourselves, there's always more to do, number one. None of us are perfect. We came here to screw up, essentially. We came here to,
to learn.
We're here to learn, which means we're going to screw up,
True.
And we came here to play around in what I call the enemy camp. We're here to really become resilient and masterful. I mean, we're getting kicked in the butt to really grow up and become more authority driven in our own mastery. And with that comes situations like what's occurring right now, where we're really being pushed. Do I have a trigger? What is that trigger? So let's, for example, say that somebody is a therapist. They read this, they're like, oh my God, this is like their code of ethics. You just don't do that. But you're not a therapist.
No.
Okay, so you step back and you say, wow, that's really true. It's a really good code of ethics. It's an excellent code of ethics. I've been a therapist myself. But we're comparing apples to oranges here. Because we're dealing with very nefarious, very cunning, very persevering entities that never stop.
Well, we're dealing in particular with things that a standard, and this isn't meant disrespectfully at all, a standard therapist, and I know you're not, but a standard therapist who's been through whichever training academy, when faced with a person who was satanically ritually abused to create not just alternate personalities, but to create suicide programs. Now, that person can't deal with that because they have no knowledge of it. They're not taught about that in their therapy school. Those of us who have, through whatever divine method, have come to it, know that that's something that we can deal with. And I would say that the worst case I ever had took me 6 months of working on Skype. Now, this was in the early days. This was 2012, before Connecting Consciousness. This was before I ran it through as a 4 day a week, 5 day a week sessions. This is when I just had two or three people. There was no interruption. There was no telephone mast opposite me. There was no interruptions. And that person had six alternate personalities, which I managed to get her to reabsorb back into her core. She had, I won't mention it, but she had a suicide program. I won't mention what the type was. That was incredibly difficult because this person was young. And when someone's young, I noticed that the oldest person I've ever worked with was 60 and the youngest person was 16. And when I look at suicide programs placed in people and mind control programs, the 60-year-old would have Yellow Brick Road, Dorothy, Alice in Wonderland. But the 16-year-old would have the cutting edge. And also the young people who have these programs have booby traps in there for people like me. So when I'm working with someone who's, I don't know, 40 years old, they never expected people like you, Alexandra, or others to be able to get into their mind and help and heal them. Mm-hmm. But then, I suppose about 15 years ago, they realized that that was becoming possible. So they put booby traps in people.
Yes, they did.
And when you're dealing with that, and I haven't lost anybody, not one person has ever committed suicide that I've worked with. I've actually healed all of them. Mm-hmm. Actually, they heal themselves. I just help them to heal themselves. So a therapist, in the traditional sense of the word, can't begin to comprehend, because in therapy school, they're not taught that there are evil men, and unfortunately it is mostly men, it's not solely, but it's mostly evil men who will kill a child just to do something to another child. I mean, that's just, the concept is horrible, and you wouldn't even teach it. But when I have a client, and I have them, who sit and tell me exactly what I've just told you in the audience, I know that's not made up. That's not a fantasy. You don't make things like that up. That's a real memory these people have. And your general therapy isn't going to help this person, because this person may be 36 hours from finishing their life. So I don't operate in the same way as a therapist, and I've never claimed to be a therapist. I've never claimed to be a doctor. I'm not. I do psychic healings, I do deprogrammings, and I do soul readings. And that's what I do. If people have a trauma from abuse in a family, and it's abuse just for abuse's sake, they need a therapist, because that's what a therapist is trained for. Okay. If they've come from a military family, a political family, a very high-end family, and there's been very, very strong satanic abuse, it's unlikely that the therapist working on his or her own would be able to help that person. So yeah, it's a challenge.
It is, and you're right. It is a journey. It's not going to be one service, one session, bam, typically. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can be, but it's typically not going to be because the actual programming itself was designed to be very layered.
Yes.
Then you have, depending on what you're talking about, you have your handlers.
Yep.
You know, and you've got it. Even if you disconnect them, you got a couple more that show back up, and the booby trapping. Relate to all this.
Yeah,
it's very, very complex. And I saw one post that said, "Listen, it takes an immense amount of mastery to be able to remove a djinn, especially an exorcism." There's not that many healers out there. They will admit that they don't want to even touch it with a 10-foot pole. Mm. I mean, you really need to know what you're doing. The same with implant removal. It's a very serious thing.
It is. And one funny serious thing, I remember 25 years ago, a priest, the Catholic Church in London, used to do exorcisms to remove djinn and other demons. And you're very hard pressed now to find anyone in the church who'll do it. And in this case, he did it, and then the damn thing followed him home. And then he had to get three of his fellow priests to come and do the work on his house, and he never did it again. And what you find is that the number of people doing it are getting less and less because the vibrational anger, the frequency of these creatures is becoming more intense because the door is closing, human consciousness is rising, and it's becoming harder and harder for these creatures to exist here because their energy is just not compatible with the majority. So they're getting more desperate, which means that they're becoming more unpredictable.
Yes.
So your general, I'll stand here with a crucifix or a cross and throw some holy water around, those days are gone. That doesn't cut it anymore. You have to work on, as you've intimated, but the audience won't fully perhaps understand you. You have within a dimension, within a color, within a shade, there are different avenues that one has to go down in sequence to remove things, and then we'll try and reboot it. So it is like that, but it takes a lot of energy. I mean, you know, I will
Everyone's
have a section
different.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you know, you need a rest after you've spoken to a client. You need to rest because you are giving them the strength, and you are actually sometimes having to combat on the energy astral some of these entities who are damned not going to give up this person. You know, they've been with them for 50 years, and why should they go back? And you can't reason with them, and sometimes you have to push them out the door.
Yes.
And that's the way it is. But generally, you can reason with them, actually. As you know, you can get to a point where they think, yeah, okay, it's time to go.
Yeah, I think, you know how they say the human DNA is like the hot commodity around the galaxy?
Yes.
True, but even more than that is the soul of all of us. Mm. The literal soul is being hunted. And even when we talk about satanic ritual and child sacrifice, those that are really good at it, those that are really high up in the order of satanic ritualism, they're literally absorbing these souls. Those that can remote view and be clairvoyant, they can literally see all the souls attached to their field. It's disgusting.
It is. It's not human, full stop. It's not human, and you've got to be so disconnected from source, God, whatever you want, you've got to be so disconnected from that, and you've got to be so unjoined to the human race that you've got to have a life of your own. You must be totally isolated and in pain. Those creatures must be in pain 24/7. How can they have a normal life? How can they hold down a job? How can they do anything knowing what they do? I mean, I'm smiling, but I don't want the audience to think that I'm not taking it seriously. I really, that's the one thing. I was at the conference the other day and I said, I've not evolved fully. And I say, I know I haven't, because if a paedophile or somebody came before me and I was the judge or something, I would hang them. Now, I know that's not, as a fully evolved person, mm-hmm. I should say, look, you know, this, that, and the other, we forgive them. But at the moment, I can't. Because for me, anybody who hurts a child, and maybe that's why I've reacted the way I have, because this entity hurt me in a way mm-hmm. by tricking me.
Sure.
But when somebody who's an adult hurts a child, and the child looks to the adult for protection, the child looks to the adult for love, and you know, when that's not given, then that's a betrayal. So I really, really don't like people that harm children. That's the one thing where I, at the moment, anyway, I can't forgive. Now, maybe in a year's time, I'll have evolved enough to do that. But at the moment, I can't. So I'm very passionate about that, because I see lots of people who are adults now, but were children when they were hurt. Now, it's not to say that we don't understand why a member of the family did it. I'm talking about people who are not very human. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about people that there's an emptiness in their body. There's a vacuum. And there's nothing divine in there. Yeah. Well, that the physical body might be organic, but what's in there ain't from God. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a problem in really being quite tough with those things. But there are people who can be forgiven.
I've got to tell you, Simon, I've taken a lot of heat because there's a couple people I've interviewed religiously over child sacrifice. It's a hot topic for me as well. I mean, we definitely have that in common. And in my opinion, it is without a doubt the worst virus ever in this reality, period.
Yeah.
And it's because ultimately all of us have an inner child within us as well, that we're still fighting whatever that we're battling, I should use the word, within ourselves. You know, and I think for those that either feel betrayed or have felt hurt by you in some way, shape, or form, or felt insulted or what have you, it's so important for us to step back and say, you know, how did I draw this into my life? What am I doing with this information? I don't know. I would never go see someone like you if I wasn't ready to like, you know, I mean, honestly, cause you're going to probably deliver some stuff to me that I got to get ready for. That's part of our path. And it's also an initiation. Every time we go through that, we're getting initiated to a higher state of consciousness to begin with, but it's not going to happen like the blink of a light switch. You know, it's a process we all have to go through.
True.
I don't know. And then the other thing I was going to say was, really, ultimately, all of us mean well, and we really need to go back to the very beginning of what is our true intention. I know my intention is I'm on fire to support all the star seeds and the guardians. I love them with all my heart and soul, and I'm here to serve my divine father and mother, period. And I don't know how much more I can do to show the world, which is not why I'm doing it, that's what I'm here to do, right?
Yeah.
And I think you've done the same. I mean, okay, so there's areas that have been created into a lot more turmoil than they should, unfortunately, because of interference, but good God, I don't know anybody in our community that doesn't know the amount of interference that we experience. I mean, ridiculously so. You know, literally, if people only had a clue, it's a normal place. And again, I'm going to stress to everybody, we had interference before this interview.
Well, I moved the modem, the router, down to the ground floor.
Good.
It doesn't stop it, but it means it's less. So that's a heck of a thing, because it was Wi-Fi, and I took that off, of course, and had it as a cable. So I had to run a long cable down to the ground floor. So
it's quite difficult. Thank you for doing this, and I do want to ask you, because I know that you said you were going to take some time off, and I really I commend you for the ceremony and the work that you did with CERN and all the people that, of course, supported you. I truly feel, I just got goosebumps, I truly feel that that was another one of those turning points. It reminded me of my trip to Africa, shutting down the Archon portal in the Congo. That was a huge turning point. But what I also want to remind people is when you do stuff like that, there's no question, no matter how powerful Simon is, he's going to receive backlash. There is just no question about it. It's just the way the universe works. And I can speak from a you know, testimony and authority that this happens.
It does. I am going to take a break, but I'm going to take a break in August because there are issues with HAARP and the San Andreas Fault for September.
We need to work on that then.
Oh, we do.
Because that's in my backyard.
I know it is. That's why I'm telling you. Well, I'll tell you, and I'm putting it out there because just by putting it out there, it could have an effect for positive. There are three people who have the say over the HAARP machine. And I need to say that two of them want to operate the HAARP machine to create a size 7 on the Richter scale before the US presidential election in November. The third one wants to do it after the election. And we have a window of opportunity to do something about it. I'm going to work. I've got the teams ready in Connected Consciousness, and I shall be pulling out a call soon to talk to other group leaders from other disciplines to say, is this something that they would like to be involved in, not necessarily working at the same time with me, but doing it in their own way. I just basically want to make people aware of the information that I've received. Right. So that they individually or as groups can do what they think is right. But ultimately, I can't affect the machine because HAARP is not a sentient machine. But what I want to do is to get to the three men and tell them that they have a responsibility to humanity, that they need to put their feet back on the earth of the planet and be with the human race and not with some misguided, megalomaniac, crazed mass murderer. So that's a biggie for us. The idea being that martial law, not across the states, just in California, and then to try and roll that out across the states. The three states that they want to target, California, Texas, and Ohio.
Ohio, interesting.
Yes, Ohio. So there are the three states that they are on the firing line at the moment. So I'm going to have a holiday in August because I want one.
I know, you and me both.
And then, you know, we're back on there. But the thing is, all of us who are here volunteered to be here, all of us.
Yes.
And sometimes, quite understandably, people say, I've had enough of it. I want to leave the planet. I've had enough of it. And the rest of us think, oh, goodness me, everybody that goes, that, oh, we've been cut off. Can you still hear me?
No, I can still hear you.
All right, okay, I've got a sign up saying there's a problem and it's about to cut off.
No,
basically,
good.
That when people leave, then that leaves more work for everyone else. But you know what? More people step up. More people come up and are waking up every day and say, what can I do to help?
Yes.
What can I do? And that's the beauty of it, because it's coming from divine source and it's a balancing fact. So whatever these crazy idiots do, there's always going to be more than enough good energy to counterbalance that, until ultimately the bad energy or the dark energy says, hang on, I've evolved. I don't need to do this anymore because it's not what I need to do. And that's when we're going to have the big change. And I passionately believe that we will get through this. And we'll come out the other side really strong.
Totally agree with that.
I've always thought that.
Me too. I've never not had a knowingness about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, since we're kind of segueing into some general world topics, I would be remiss in not asking you a few questions. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, sure. And then we'll call it a day.
Do you feel like we've covered everything we need to cover regarding...
Yeah, I'm happy with that. It's just simply that I'm aware now that I've been over an hour in this room and I'm being baked with microwaves. I'll do a few questions because that would be really lovely.
Okay.
And then I will have to go downstairs and get out of this microwave oven.
Sounds good. Well, why don't I put them all together? You know, apparently There's rumor that Bill and Hillary are on an island negotiating for their lives.
Right.
That she has offered her unconditional surrender.
Yeah.
And that Trump is agreed to resign in order to give it over to Paul Ryan. Do you agree with all that information?
No, not all of it. Some of it is true. Some of it is very true. The way I need to answer that is to explain that the people who are not familiar with this, people who maybe just came to the truth a week ago or a month ago, or well, they're so busy they don't have time to really do what they need to do. They don't understand that the elite is not just one elite. If you think of a triangle, the very top of it is divided into many groups. The top elite want to hook the so-called divine feminine energy into the planet. That is why there is a female prime minister in Great Britain. That is why there is a female president, is it president or prime minister, chancellor, I beg your pardon, chancellor in Germany. So you've got Theresa May, the British prime minister. You've got Angela Merkel, the chancellor in Germany, and they want Hillary Clinton. The idea is that this planet is feminine and it has a biorhythm that works like that. Now, none of those three women are divine feminine, actually, but they are feminine, and the elite wish to anchor their energy into the planet to try to mask it and so to hang on by subterfuge within that energy. It's not going to work. So, and the best advice I have is that they still want Hillary to be the president so they can form this pyramid of three females over the most important country in the world. America is the most important country on the planet. I've always said that, and I know people don't like it outside of the States. It's tough. It's true. The second most important country is Great Britain, England, and the third is Germany. That's why they're doing that. All right, we're talking about the deals that are being struck. About 6 weeks ago, the Rothschilds had a very, very important high-level meeting. They're the executive. They produced some policies, which the Bilderberger Group met, I think, 3 weeks ago, something like that. The Bilderberger Group ratified most of those. That's what happened. The Rothschilds, as the executive, they make the laws. The Bilderbergers ratify or don't. Now, the big key here is China. Because China has offered America the codes to Deutsche Bank, or perhaps I shouldn't have said that, has offered them the codes to a German bank to access the gold that China has, so that America doesn't go down the tubes. But they've extracted some deals for that. And one of the deals is the business between the Clintons. Now, what I would say is the Clintons... there was the head of the FBI was minded, that's a very British word, I'm sorry, the head of the FBI was minded to indict Hillary Clinton. And I'll even tell you that this document that they had was the third drawer down in this person's desk. And every morning, this person had been opening the third drawer, taking this document out, putting it on their desk, turning it and thinking, what am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with this? And then the document goes back in the drawer, and it's been like that for weeks. This is in regard to the 200 emails. But the deal was that they couldn't indict Hillary Clinton unless they had someone to stand in as the Democratic candidate. Now, Joe Biden would be the automatic candidate because he's the deputy, but Joe Biden refused. So if they'd removed Hillary Clinton, it would automatically have been Trump on the slate and no credible alternative. So that's why she was not indicted. Now, the good guys within the elite are now pushing for another crack at that, for another indictment, and that's resurfaced. So the decision that Hillary has to make is she's brave enough to say, look, I'm not the woman for the job, find someone else? Or is she going to be so frightened by her handlers that she is coerced into keeping her name on the slate? So that part I can agree with.
Hmm.
So there's so much going on. And yet if you switch on your TV, you would think that Gilligan is the most exciting thing on TV and that there's nothing else happening, and don't worry, we'll go and have a coffee, it's all fine. The reality is the elite are in absolute turmoil because human consciousness did not cave in. It did not give up. It is still strong and it's growing, and we're going to win.
Freezing.
I know it sounds like a war, but we are going to win because we need to educate these people. I mean, these people in the White House, in Germany, in Britain and elsewhere, most of them are not bad. They're just hoodwinked.
Yeah.
They're just tricked. They're just doing what they think is right. And when
the
threat pulls, they'll learn.
Yeah. They're totally puppeted. Well,
yeah.
And there's a lot of, I'd love to hear your opinion on this, and then you can let me know when you need to go. But now, they've already said that Obama's resignation has been taped. They've also said that General Dunsford is in full command of the Republic. And that intel's been flying around over and over and over again. From what I hear, I don't know. I'm reserving judgment on the Dunsford story. And my question to you is, at what point, or do you believe that the good white knight walk-ins have already arrived?
Mm. They're already there, as
That's
you
what
well
I
know,
thought.
Alexandra.
Okay.
What happened over the last 5 years is the evil and sometimes misguided people in very high positions, mostly in the military, have been removed. Generally very quietly. Yeah, some of the bad guys remove the good guys, but more bad guys have been removed and replaced. And I'm on record as saying that the connection between the American citizenry and the vast majority of its armed forces is good and strong. And the vast majority of the armed soldiers will not turn on the citizenry. Unfortunately, that is not necessarily the case with the American police force.
Yes.
Because what's happened is that the American police force generally, not totally, but generally is so isolated from the average citizen that they have become almost thrown to the dogs by their own masters. And so they are almost a law to themselves now. That's not the case with the military, which means the military is still commanded, by and large, by good men and women who are patriots to not some false ideology, but to the genuine principles why America is set up, for goodness sake, to those energies. I have no worries. They can build as many FEMA camps as they want. They'll have to stock FEMA camps with foreign soldiers because American soldiers won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I have the greatest confidence in the United States of America. I think there'll be 2 to 3 days of difficulty, and then I think that the spirit that makes America great will actually show itself.
And
very, very positive.
Thank you for that. And I also want to add to that, just from some other intel that I've gotten directly from the source, that there is a huge, huge movement within the sheriffs who, it's very positive, folks, and it's moving very rapidly across the United States. And it was a key strategic movement on the part of the light, and it's become very successful. They're opening their eyes and they're recognizing what's going on. And the cool thing about the sheriffs is they have a great, far better jurisdiction.
Yes, and also people like Highway Patrol will respond to them. Also the state police. One of the issues I ever had was with Seattle, because Seattle was the only city that allowed FEMA guards to ride along with the ordinary cops. And the only way you can tell the difference is the ordinary cop has a different badge on his or her left shoulder from the FEMA cops. Seattle is where they trialed it. There's a lot of satanic stuff in Seattle. If I could fly, it's a place I'd go to with a group of people and I'd hold some public healings, because Seattle needs to be healed.
It's huge. And you know what else is hooking up with that is there's an immense amount of underground bases. From Vancouver down. And I learned this from Annette, Kevin Annette.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. There is a huge satanic ritual underground section in that location.
Right, so that's why the energies are so bad there.
Correct. And we did some ceremonies at East SETI, James Gilliland's ranch, up in that general vicinity. And we saw some stuff like that as well.
Interesting, very interesting.
Very, very heavy. So you
What's amazing here, Alexandra, is that we are getting our information from different sources, but my goodness me, we're agreeing. Now, that's very positive because it's showing that the truth comes out.
Yes.
And when the truth comes out, then light workers need to say, right, okay, you know, what's the priority? We have a list of about 20. But you know, you look at it and you say, well, it becomes obvious what needs to be done. And Seattle was one of the places that always had been on my mind for a long time. But now I know why. I didn't know what you told me. That's news to me, but it explains why I felt the way I have about it.
Well, you're motivating me because I'm about to do an interview with someone regarding Seattle. I'm not going to say any more because her life's been in jeopardy because of certain things that are going to come out. But anyway, last but not least, because I have a gazillion questions, we can always do another interview.
I need to go soon because I've been here too long. One more.
But just last but not least, all of the rumors about the money flowing. They even came so far as to say that the Landa Group has now received their funding. What is your opinion on that?
Right. The White Hats or the White Knights, don't matter the label really, always consider that they can trace it back to what they call King Solomon's gold, the money that belongs to the people. And it was always a test of certain people on the planet, whether they could share. And I've always said, you know, the thing for me is I hate greed.
Yeah.
It's like, I've got this great big piece of cake and I'm not going to cut you a slice of cake. And one of the great changes in energies was when it was decided that the way that the banks work, the way that interest works, the way that the tax works is all fundamentally wrong, and that money needs to go back to people. It needs to go back into communities. It needs to go back into projects that are really for people. And so it wasn't that the money wasn't there. The money has always been there, but it was getting the agreement, because it's no good doing something at gunpoint, because it doesn't hook in. It doesn't last. It doesn't survive. It's got to be with agreement. You've got to get, like you said, a gazillion people to all say yes. This is what we want to do, because then it will happen and it will have no negative connections to it. So it's been years and years and years in the making. And that's why, as we speak, the Rothschild mine, gold mine off Indonesia, is being blockaded. And their previous gold shipment was hijacked, or the payoff for it was, because if we don't make changes, then there are certain individuals who will take the law into their own hands, and that's actually not what I want. I want the consensus.
Yeah.
And so there is coming a time when the money and the authority, because money's not, it's the energy behind money.
Yeah.
When the money is given to the people, it is the energy saying you have your birthright, in the sense that you now are sovereign. The question for me, Alexandra, is when that's all done, we must ensure that we don't replace one elite group of psychopaths with another.
Totally.
We will say, I'm here to save you, and they'll just appear from nowhere with no track record.
Right.
And you think, well, who are you? So really what I want, I would like from the system, is that a moratorium of decisions is made for a short period of time, and those people across the planet who have got something to offer, whoever that might be, should come forward. Think about Iceland. They wrote their constitution on Facebook. So if you were 14 years old, you could say what you wanted.
Yeah.
Now, that's what we need to do. We need to move to a much more inclusive way. And listen, I do need to go because I've been here more than an hour and I've got a headache now, so I need to go.
Bless you.
Thank
bless
you ever so much.
Yes, and I just want everyone to please send Simon some love.
Thank you. That would be
gratitude.
That would be lovely.
Some love and gratitude for the work he's done and the whistleblowing information that he's provided this world. And I love you, Simon. And thanks. I'm grateful that you were able to kind of clarify a lot of the stuff that's going on around the internet. And
well, I'm grateful that you gave me the opportunity to do that.
You're welcome.
It was important to me. You know, and this was never about cutting and running. It was about saying, look, this is the truth. Why wouldn't I tell you the truth? You know, I want you to know. And do I feel a fool or stupid? No, I don't. I feel betrayed. I feel as a small child who trusted an entity.
Sure.
People might say, well, you were stupid to trust a reptilian. But, you know, when you're 3 years old and something comes to you and doesn't hurt you, you have the trust in that.
Right.
You know, and, you know, people who throw that at me, well, they can't be that spiritual. I'm hoping what people will say is, well, thank goodness you discovered it when you did.
Yeah.
And good on you for being open and honest. And that was all I was ever going to be, open and honest.
Well,
so listen.
Opens our eyes to other people that might have been going through the same thing. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only person that's been manipulated like that, and I'm probably not going to be the last, but it shows that when the truth is there, we can all step into our power, and it's my own journey as well. I've evolved, I've learned, you know, I've learned things, and I hope that I'm doing the right thing because I'm trying to learn from it and be stronger from it.
Right on. Well, so, that's all we can ask for, huh?
Yeah, I guess. But that and an English cup of tea. I'm going to go down.
Oh, I would love to have an English cup of tea.
Well, you guys can't make tea. You make fantastic coffee, but your tea is rubbish.
We can make fantastic.
So I'll tell you what, one day when we meet, you can show me how to make a correct American coffee.
You got it.
And I will show you how to make a correct English cup of tea. Is that a deal?
That is a total deal. And we will talk soon. Let's make sure that Fran connects us again because I have other things to
say. Yeah. I've got the greatest respect for Fran. I always have done. She's a fantastic person.
Hey, thank you. I know you're feeling the heat from the white.
My back of my head now is hurting. I need to go.
Thank you again.
Thanks so much. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cheers.